anointed with fire. That's what I'm going to speak on today. And I want to encourage all of you. This is Pentecost Sunday. What a joy. Blessed and happy Pentecost. And, you know, it's wonderful. And I'm so glad that Pat asked us to come on Pentecost Sunday. Because it's actually sad. Many, many, many Pentecostal and spiritual churches don't do anything on Pentecost Sunday. Because they believe they already have it, so what do they need to do? No, we need to celebrate and honor the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. And never get to a place where we take for granted what the Holy Spirit has done and what He is doing and what He is going to do. Amen? Amen. So, thank you, Jesus. And this congregation has stood for the Holy Spirit throughout the years. Even when others have pulled back, Pat has always pushed forward. And I thank the Lord for that. And I want to encourage you. I believe you are at a time where the Lord is not just blessing what has happened in the past, but He is depositing now for the future of what the Lord is going to do through this place. Yes, through some of the leaner years and COVID and whatever, there has been a shrinking. But I want to encourage you, you're about to see a harvest. This place will again be packed to overflowing in the name of Jesus. Oh, I just really sense the Holy Spirit on that right now. And the thing that is going to happen, because the thing in many, many churches that have been there for a long time, the older generation is just getting older and older, and there's no young people. But there's young people here. There's little kids. And so the Lord is about to bring in many, many more young people and couples. And it is going to flourish and continue further to the next level for the move of God that is upon us, which is a harvest move. And as Pat said, Pentecost is a harvest festival. And today we're celebrating that harvest, not only what has happened, but declaring what is about to take place in the name of Jesus. So, as I said, I'm going to speak on the fire of the Holy Spirit, to be anointed with fire. So I want us to read a few scriptures. Elena's going to read them for us. And we're going to start in Isaiah 64. And then verse 1 to 4. And then we're going to do Malachi 3, verse 1 to 4. And then Acts 2 from verse 1 to 21. I mean, we can't not read Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost, right? Hallelujah. By the way, as she's getting it open, what does Pentecost mean? Other than the pastor.
The younger saints. Pentecost.
50.
Okay.
And it was 50 days after Jesus rose from the dead. Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Okay, remember that.
Ooh. Okay, here goes. Okay, Isaiah 64. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you, as when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil. Come down to make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you. For when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down and the mountains trembled before you. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for Him. You come to the help of those who gladly do right, who remember your ways.
Hallelujah. Amen. And as she's going to the next one, I believe this is one of the scriptures in those 10 days before Pentecost that they prayed, calling on the Lord that he would come down with fire. Hallelujah. Amen.
Malachi 3 from verse 1 to 4. See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord as in days gone by, as in former years.
Amen, amen. Hallelujah. And now, Acts 2.
Yes, from verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, 'What meaneth this?' Some, however, made fun of them and said, 'They have had too much wine.' Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. 'Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved."
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the promised gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, that you had promised from long ago that you will pour out your Holy Spirit. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came and after you suffered on the cross and rose from the dead, as we sang so powerfully this morning, that when you ascended on high, that on the day of Pentecost, you poured out your Holy Spirit. And ever since, you have continued and continued. And thank you that today, we are not just talking about a historical fact, but we are living in reality of that Pentecost. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I pray that today, we again will be touched by the fire of Pentecost in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Give Jesus a shout. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Hallelujah. So, this is very, very powerful. And, you know, as I said, that scripture in Isaiah, I believe, is what they prayed on, you know, there in the upper room. And maybe several other scriptures also in many of these prophetic words about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, when the Lord Jesus, before he ascended to heaven, when he rose from the dead, it says he opened their minds to the scriptures and he unpacked all the Old Testament scriptures concerning him. But I also believe that he also unpacked the scriptures prophesying about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Because when Peter quotes Joel, that wasn't something that he, you know, from being in the synagogue had been taught. Hello? So the Lord Jesus, on that same day of the resurrection, even gave him that scripture and many others concerning the Holy Spirit. And that's why on that day, they were ready because they had been praying. They didn't know what it will look like. And how many of you know, so many of us, when we got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and some of you even this weekend, when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's glorious and wonderful and very unexpected and also strange. Hello? Isn't that true? And it catches you off guard. Because, you know, especially if you serve the Lord for a little while and then get baptized in the Holy Spirit, it is such a gear change. It's such an acceleration. And that's what happened with the disciples. But before I get there, I want to show you something. So, in Malachi 4, we didn't look at that scripture, but it speaks there, and I spoke of it earlier on Friday night also. It speaks there that the Lord will send his messenger who will come in the power and spirit of Elijah and will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. And that was John the Baptist. And he came in the spirit and power of Elijah, right? So Elijah, he was the one that called down fire. Come on. You guys remember that? So in 1 Kings 18, well, actually in 17, he tells Ahab, on account of my word. And I've always, I've read that so many times in my life, but it is something that has been so amazing that Elijah says, on account of my word. He had such a walk with the Lord that that the words of the Lord were his words. Come on. We should be the same. Come on. So he said, on account of my word, it will not rain. And let me just throw this in quickly. We have been in a society in the church, and especially in spirit-filled communities, and where we have just believed that the Lord always just blesses and does good to us, and that there never comes any kind of judgment. Come on. Isn't that true? But here he speaks out a judgment that it will not rain. I mean, we have just come in California out of years and years of extreme droughts. I want to tell you, I don't believe it was just a climate thing. Come on. And like 2 years ago, whatever, we had those fires all up and down the West Coast. And the people were saying, this is global warming. I don't believe that had anything to do with that. There was judgment from those fires. But now the Lord has opened the heavens over California in the natural. Come on. We've had the greatest snowfall on record. Isn't that amazing? It's telling us what the Lord spiritually is about to do. I'm going to find another crowd to preach to. Come on. That's something to be excited about. Come on. It is so amazing. So, I believe we're at that place when Elijah was sent on top of Mount Carmel and had gathered the Baal priests. And he cried out and said to them, today you must choose who you are going to serve. And really, we've had Baal being served and worshipped here in California. Come on. But I believe we are at the crossroads. And he said, today you must choose who you're going to serve. The God who answers with fire is God, he said. And then you know how he had them first do their sacrifice and mock them, and nothing was coming, nothing was happening. And then he made sure that it's impossible for this sacrifice to actually even catch fire. Because he poured so much water on it that there was no way this thing could burn. But then he cried out to the Lord, and the fire came down. Now, the sacrifice is the picture of the Lord Jesus that was sacrificed for us on the cross, right? Come on. And the sacrifice had been made. And let me tell you this, the Lord Jesus, when he was crucified and rose from the dead, his crucifixion bought for us the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Because if the Lord Jesus had not been sacrificed, we could not get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Come on. So the baptism in the Holy Spirit, when the Lord Jesus had ascended to the Father, he received as the reward for what he had done, the baptism in the Holy Spirit to pour out. Wow. Come on. And the Holy Spirit fell. So, this is the fire of Pentecost that fell on that sacrifice. And now John the Baptist declares, as he sees the Lord Jesus coming to him, he says, I baptize in water, but there is one coming after me. And we need to have this attitude of John the Baptist. He says, I must decrease, he must increase. It's time that we put away this thing.
Oh man, look how great I am. I can do some stuff for God.
Come on. No. It's time that we say, I must decrease, he must increase. And he said, there's one coming after me whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He said, he will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. Wow. John the Baptist, who came in the spirit and power of Elijah, declared fire is coming through the Lord Jesus. Amen? And then he said, because it's so important to see that this fire is connected to harvest. He said, his winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will gather his harvest, and he will burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. And understand this, when the harvest is gathered in, when the gospel is preached, and the souls come to Jesus, a division comes. And those that reject is the chaff that will eventually burn with fire. I mean, that is something we sometimes don't want to think about. But I want to encourage you. That is why we need to be so passionate about the gospel. Because we have to rescue people from that unquenchable fire. Come on. That is part of why we preach the gospel, to rescue people, to absolutely grab people out of that fire so that they will in eternity be with the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. So now, going to Malachi 3, I want to show you this. The Lord stirred me this morning, and I've never preached it this way before. So you guys are getting a fresh revelation this morning. So Malachi 3, and I know this scripture well, but he says that the messenger who will come before, that is speaking of John the Baptist, and then he says, suddenly, and the day of Pentecost was suddenly. So this is speaking of the day of Pentecost. And he says, he will come with fire. The Lord Jesus is the baptizer with fire. Come on. But then he says, this fire will be a fire of cleansing. Uh-oh. We didn't think of it like that. But let me show you something. So look at the disciples. All through the Gospels, the Lord Jesus is busy with them. And everywhere he goes, they continually do fleshly things. Hello? They continually act without faith. Even though they put their faith in Jesus, believe, and he declares them saved before the cross. But even though that's the case, they continually stumble and stumble. Then you see Peter. Here comes the servant girl. And he denies the Lord Jesus. And it's very fascinating when the Lord Jesus restores him. He doesn't talk with him about salvation. Hello? He restores his mission. Hello? Are you guys catching this? He never looked at him that Peter had completely so backslid that he had to get saved all over again. But in all of that, can you see there was flesh that was not dealt with? Even though they had believed in Jesus and had surrendered to him, there was flesh that was not dealt with. And they were still very, Peter was still very full of himself. Come on. Every time, I'm going to do this, Jesus, check me. And the Lord Jesus would think, Peter, you ain't ready. I can't use you like this. You see, Peter had to die before Jesus could use him. Not physically, but his flesh had to be put to death. Now come the day of Pentecost. When you see Peter come out of that upper room, he is not the fleshly Peter. Come on. There was a transformation even that came with that baptism in the Holy Spirit. There was flesh that was burnt away. Then I want to show you, it goes further. Isaiah sees the Lord, but this is the Lord Jesus that he saw. And he is so struck with this that he cries out, I am a man of unclean lips, and I live amongst the people of unclean lips. That describes our society. And then the Lord, and he says, woe am I. And if you think of Peter, you think of the disciples. I mean, think of John and James. Jesus, let's call down fire on these guys and just wipe them out. Sons of thunder, okay? I mean, we know John later on as the apostle of love, but he didn't start out that way. Come on. There was a change that had to come. And then there was Thomas that doubted. And so we can, you know, we can list them, you know, what they, how they were. But on the day of Pentecost, not only did he touch their hearts, when the fire of the Holy Spirit fell on them, their lips were touched. And now I want to show you this. Tongues. When the speaking in tongues, it has to start by when we get touched by the fire of the Holy Spirit. It is to start to change our speech. And Peter suddenly was a changed man. Also, tongues opens our mouth to proclaim Jesus. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. Before they spoke in tongues, they did not have the boldness to testify about Jesus. But when they started speaking in tongues, their tongue was loosed to preach. Come on. Only two people are agreeing with me. The rest of you are looking at me like, okay. So, how many of you are tongue talkers? Make some noise. Okay? So, that includes all of us that are speaking in tongues. When you got baptized in the Holy Spirit, the Lord touched your tongue. The Holy Spirit touched your tongue and loosed your tongue so that you can be a witness for Jesus. And I know some people will say, oh, brother, I can't. No, stop saying that. Today, make a decision and say, I am no longer going to allow my flesh to rule. But I'm going to put my flesh under, and I'm going to submit to the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit's fire touch me and burn out the flesh that will not surrender to the Holy Spirit and will not surrender to serve the Lord Jesus in fullness. But today, I want my tongue to be loosed that I can proclaim with boldness the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Because that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. When their tongue was loosed. You see, it says in Isaiah 28, with strange I've forgotten how it says it exactly. With strange tongues, I will speak to these people. And then he says this. For this is your place of rest. So what does that mean? You see, As long as I do things in my flesh, I am striving. But when I come into the fullness of the Holy Spirit and surrender to the power of the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit works through me, I enter into rest. Because now it's no longer me working, but the Holy Spirit working through me, and I co-labor with Him. Come on. Are you with me? And that's why tongues brings us into that place of surrender. And that's why we need to use it often. So tongues is not just... Yes, tongues is the sign of the baptism in the Holy Spirit, but it's so much more. You step into the supernatural realm of the Holy Spirit. We live in such, the people around us just live in the natural world, think of it as natural, but they are affected by the spirit realm. But when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, you are stepping into that supernatural realm, and now you can start to speak and address things in ways that someone without the baptism in the Holy Spirit can never do. And when we start to function that way, you will become far more effective wherever you go and speak to people, to start to address things and to proclaim things. And the Lord will put words in your mouth. He said, don't worry about what you will say. Come on. Some of us say, oh, brother, I don't know. No, Jesus said, don't worry. Because I will give you the words. And you will be amazed. You will open your mouth. And you will say things that you'd never thought. And the Holy Spirit is going to do that. Amen? Amen. Now, some of you say, well, brother, many, many years ago I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I received that fire, so I'm okay today. If that's the attitude, and there are many people that are like that. But let me say this, that should never be our attitude. Because in the book of Acts, they didn't just stop there. In Acts chapter 4, we see Peter and John had been arrested because of the man at the gate beautiful that got healed. And then they brought before the Sanhedrin and they tell them, shut up. You know, that's just the modern English for what they said there, okay? They basically told them, never speak in the name of Jesus again. And well, they didn't say that Jesus, they just said in that name. They didn't even want to say the name of Jesus. And Peter and John said, you guys choose who we need to obey, but we will obey the Lord. We cannot stop obeying God and proclaiming the name of Jesus. And then when they gathered the believers, they prayed. And they didn't pray, oh, Lord, we're suffering, help us. Hello? Now, I know none of you have ever had a pity party. Come on. We all often have pity parties. These people didn't have a pity party. They said, prayed and said, Lord, consider their threats and enable us to more boldly. Give us more trouble. Make us more bold in the name of Jesus. And extend your hand by your holy servant Jesus to perform signs and wonders. And then the building shook. It was a Holy Ghost earthquake. Now I know we're in California and there's often shakings. And I know a few years ago you had one year. Okay, a big one. But we're now talking about a Holy Ghost shake. And it says, and they all shook also. And then it says, they were filled again. boom, the fire fell again. And they were more bold. And now it says, now there was mega power and mega grace upon them. And they got more trouble. Come on. But the souls were coming in huge numbers. And so today, let us be like those in that upper room that cried for more. In just a few moments, I'm going to close and I'm going to give opportunity for everyone that want that fresh touch to come forward. And I want to encourage you, don't sit and say, okay, I'm okay. But grab hold of this opportunity for a fresh Pentecost fire in the name of Jesus. Because the Lord is about to do something. Yes, the past has been glorious, but we're not looking to the past now. We're looking forward. And in this season, we're crying out that you will rend the heavens and come down as in times of old. Yes, we talk about the Jesus People movement in the time of Lonnie Frisbee that we were reminded about in the Jesus Revolution movie. Yes, in the 80s, things happened. Even in the 90s, with the outpouring through Rodney Arbaugh and Toronto and Brownsville. But I want to tell you, that was then. But we now need a fresh outpouring, a fresh fire. And we need a harvest move that will sweep not just America, but the nations. And so we declare that this is the time for a fresh fire of Pentecost in the name of Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord Jesus. You are the one that came with fire. And we want that fire to burn out the flesh, to bring cleansing, that it will be a move of the fear of the Lord, a move of holiness. That will bring cleansing in the name of Jesus. And that there will be holy sacrifices of praise given unto the Lord in the name of Jesus. From souls that had been completely defiled by sin, but now have been sanctified by the blood of Jesus and cleansed by the fire of the Holy Ghost and full of fire, will proclaim the Lord Jesus in Jesus' name. We thank you, Jesus. This is what you are about to do. And we say, do it again in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, we pray right now that this morning you will come with fire and touch us. Cleanse our lips in the name of Jesus. Ignite again our lips with fire to proclaim your gospel. Set us on fire and wake us up that we will again be awakened to speak the fire of the Holy Spirit, that we'll be unashamed to proclaim the gospel in the name of Jesus. And Lord, where there is flesh, where there is things that are not right, where there's things that have been defiled in our lives, where we've been lukewarm, where we've not served you well, where we've allowed things to come in and we've not walked in holiness and in the fear of the Lord. I pray that today the fire of the Holy Spirit will come and burn out the flesh in the name of Jesus and shake us and set us on fire to run into the rest of this year and to see your fire fall on many, many new believers that will get saved in this harvest in the name of Jesus. And we will give you all the glory, Lord Jesus, because it's unto you. We say we must decrease. You must increase, Lord Jesus. Have your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Let me just ask. Because I know we're a good crowd here this morning. Is there anyone that came this morning that, you know, somebody invited you? This is maybe your first time or you've been here a few times or whatever. But you are not sure today if you die that you will be with Jesus. And I want to tell you, Jesus died for your sins on the cross. He suffered and paid the price that we can be set free, that we can be saved. But it was such a price. That's why he requires us to sell out to him. He was buried, and when he rose on the third day, he conquered sin and death. And he said, whoever will believe in him and receive him in their heart, he will forgive all your sins. He will give you a new heart. And when you die, you will be with him forever. And you become a child of God. Is there anyone here today? You've never said yes to Jesus like that. Just raise your hand.